Amen. Deuteronomy 30, as I said, I want to try to condense everything, so I'm going to talk a little bit faster than usual. Let's start in verse 9. I just want to read this, verse 9 to 20. Let's just read this. It says, "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in thy fruit of thy body, and of thy fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, and in the good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and to his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart," everybody say, all thine heart, "and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off." There's a key to that. It is not hidden from you. The blessings of God, the things of God are not hidden from you. He goes on to say, verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may do it? But the word," everybody say, "the word. The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, and thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God." He commands you to love the Lord thy God, "to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away." How many know that's temptation? How many know Satan is the tempter? Right? So he tempts you. So he says that, "But you will be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." How many know in Psalms 91, the protection scripture, it says at the very end, "And with long life will I satisfy you." But he says here, if you step away, you create the separation from God. He says, then your life shall not prolong the days upon the land. But he goes on to say, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But because he loves you so much," what does he say? "Therefore choose life." Amen? "Choose life that both you and your seed may live." The Amplified says, "your descendants, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life." Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." He says that you may cleave unto him, "for he is thy life and thy length of days, that he mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." How many know you are the seed of Abraham? Amen? Amen. Today I want to talk about families. Now there's some keys we're going to touch on in just a moment. But how many know the family is under attack? Yeah. The family unit, mom, dad, son, daughter, whatever it is under attack. I mean, you can just see it in some of the children. They had a demographic that said that up to 25 years old, you'll, from a certain age up to 25 years old, you'll find, if you're 25 and under, it says that you're always on something. You got to, not drugs or anything, but you're always on clicking, and you're always socializing. And, you know, it says from 25 and up, my age, it's you can text, but you got a cell phone, and you say, "Why don't you just call me?" Right? But they got a text. I mean, even my boys, I mean, their video games, you know, all the time, they got to have something in their hand. But then it goes on to the next demographic that says that those older says, if you can't talk to me in person, don't bother calling. Right? The older we get is like, hey, where's that respect? Where's that personable? You know, come see me. And sometimes we need to call, we need to do things like that. But I mean, the more we start to understand how this world is going, how many know you're living in the end times? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know Pastor Lesh has been talking about the end times, and we were here one week, and I want to tell you, we have these videos from the Prophecy Conference in World Harvest, and Grant Jeffrey says, you know what? I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, or it hasn't happened already. He says, but I know there's 180-something, 160-something thousand reasons why the rapture hasn't happened. He says, because 160,000 souls are being saved a day. This is what's holding back God from saying, okay, let's go. Because he's merciful. He's a God of love. He says, I don't want to leave nobody behind. Amen? Amen. But what are a couple keys in these scriptures that we just talked about? Is one of those keys is the word. It said that it's not hidden from you. It's not afar off. Verse 14 says, but it's the word. It is nigh thee. It is very nigh thee. I want to show you a scripture. I'm going to turn there right now. I want to show you how to keep the family strong. To keep the family strong, it says in Ephesians 6:4, it says, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. Another scripture I want to share with you is in Joel. I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to turn there because we're going to stay in Deuteronomy for a moment. Joel, here's a key on how to keep the family unit together. Chapter 1 in Joel, it says, and the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in the days, or even in the days of thy fathers? Now here it is, here's the key. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children. And their children, another children. Another generation, I mean to say. It means raise your children. What's the scripture say? Build up your children, you know, that when they get older, they will not depart from it. And as fathers today, we are being, you know, we need to be. I had all this stuff, and the Holy Spirit's just taking me a whole different direction. The father needs to be the head of the household. Amen? That's what the Bible says. What's that mean? You need to be the spiritual head. I need three volunteers because I want to share something with you. I need two women. I'm going to use Mrs. Lush and Tracy. And then I'm going to use Craig. All right, if Craig can stand here. Tracy here and Mrs. Lush on the other side. I want to share with you that the family is under attack. And I'm going to show you how this is happening. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. It says, and also all that generation that were gathered unto thy fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works, nor what he had done for Israel. It says they didn't recognize, they didn't understand. I want to show you this in action right now. Mrs. Lesh is going to stand in proximity of my grandmother. My grandmother still attends our church. She's 87, 88. She's something like that. She's old. But don't tell her I said that. Mrs. Lesh ain't old. No, my grandma is... she's a seed. Remember it talks about in I think it was Lydia, that the seed that came from her went into her next generation. Well, this is the same thing. And what my grandma tells me is that when my mom, this is taking the position of my mom, when my mom was a baby, there was something happened in her that they didn't know what it was. She just started everything just started to contract. And they didn't know what to do. Then my great-grandmother said just to do this. You know, they prayed, and then whatever happened, she's normal, she's here today. What was that? I believe what they tell me is that God saw this generation in her when she was a baby, but then also in my grandpa and my grandmother. Now, in this generation, I'm just talking from my own experience. I'm going to share with you how this is working. This generation of my grandfather and my grandma, predominantly a lot of, the majority of Kettle Point First Nation were Christian. I mean, they camp meetings and all that type of thing. I mean, they had big families. I think my grandma and my grandpa had like 9 kids or something like that. And they all grew up under that household. And they were all taught. They all went to church. They didn't have a choice. How many know that you give a child a choice, they're usually going to choose the wrong thing? No, we build them up. But they took them into church. And now this generation started to go into church. I went and looked on an old website of the church we used to attend long time ago, and there's this thing called catechism that people went through, a class, and they would have all the pictures, and I would see a lot of people in Kettle Point. But now half this generation is still serving God, and half that grew up in a church have fallen away. Now, that has come to this generation. I can look back on the pictures and remember all the kids that I went to Sunday school. We went to church. We were there every Sunday. And I want to tell you, here's the thing. I can look back on those pictures, and I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Now, what has been in her spirit, what God has put in her, has put into my mother, has put into me, and now is now putting into my children. This will be Seth. But it's happening here. We were talking the other night about this, that it says that Pastor Steve shared with me the demographic that 80%, if the father attends church, 80% of the time the family will follow. 80-something percent. But less than 20%, if only the mom shows up for church, will the family follow. But I want to share this with you. Don't, mothers, if you're here saying, you know, it's just me, my husband don't, I want to tell you, I'm a part of that less than 20%. My mom, since I was a baby, took us to the church. We would go to Port Huron. That would be about 45 minutes. We would cross the bridge every Sunday, every Friday night, and she would bring me up in church. Now, I drifted away a bit, but there was always a pulling, saying, you're not like them. You're not like that. That's not you. And that's where prayer comes in. Prayer. Now, it's prayer, prayer, prayer for this generation. Now, this generation, I can go to the school, and the only place they've heard about Jesus, the only place they've heard about God, is probably on TV or something. Some type of something on TV. No, none of these, this generation, ever has gotten taught about God. Because this generation has drifted away completely. So comes to the matter. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to use that illustration so you see that. I'm going to read that again in Judges. In Judges, and also all that generation that gathered unto the fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works that he had done for Israel. I want to share with you that today, fathers, we need to fill the gap. Today, fathers, it is up to us to stand up. I mean, if you want to look at a godly father, look at Abraham. Abraham, number one, he was a faithful man. I mean, God said, get up and go to a land you don't know. He got up and he left. And you know what? When he left, who followed? Sarah followed. I mean, you better know you heard from God. That's what Trace says. Give me that rhema word. I said, I'm going to buy a motorbike. You better have that rhema word first. You know, I better have heard from God before she lets me buy a bike. But doesn't matter. It's going to happen anyway. Anyway. But Abraham heard from God. God said, go to that land. He says, where am I going? He says, you'll see when you get there. So he got up and left. And Sarah got up and followed. I mean, us as godly men, we need to understand leadership. Understand leadership principles. Understand that we have been called on purpose to be the head of the household. Now, he was a man of faith. Remember when God asked him to go and sacrifice Isaac? Yeah, that would have been a hard thing, because here is the promise. Here is Isaac, the promise. Here is Isaac, the blessing. God, you had told me that you said that, you know, we understand the scripture that says he was fully persuaded. He staggered not at the promises of God, but he was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he would do. Now, here is that right here. And now God asked him to take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. What did Abraham do? Say, God. Did he have a conversation with God? I mean, did he say, no, I'm not going to do that? You promised me Isaac, so I'm not going to take that step. No, what did he do? He took him up. Why? Here's what I believe, is that when he took him up, he says, whatever you ask me to do, God, I know this is the promise. I know this is my faith that you had provided me, Isaac, that I don't care if I have to go through with this thing. If I have to go up to that mountain and slice him, stab him, whatever, and burn him, and his ashes are there, that by time I walk off this mountain, you will have brought him back from the dead. I don't care what it is, God. I'm in obedience. And what does Deuteronomy say? Obey his voice. As godly fathers, we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide us into where we need to go. Amen? Amen. How many know that a lot of times we make bad decisions? But here, God has given us a decision to make. He says, verse 19, I call heaven and earth against you this day that I've set before you. Here is life. I mean, we are on this earth. He says, here is life and death, blessing and cursing. How many know life is better than death? Amen. If you're just showing up today, this is what we believe. Life is better than death, right? Life is better than death. Blessing is better than cursing. Amen? Amen. I don't want to walk in the curse. I mean, if you fully understand, Jesus did away with the curse that you can walk in the blessings of Abraham. But he goes on to say, therefore, because he loves you so very much, because he wants you to succeed, he knew you even before you were. We saw that video today. He predestined you. Even before you were, he already knew you had a calling on you. This is why it is not biblical to tell your children you can grow up to be anything you want. It's unbiblical, because God already has a calling in their life. I'm watching Seth, I'm watching Silas, to what they want to do in church. Seth now, he had an opportunity to be behind the camera and film the women's conference. We had a women's meeting, and I was watching him. He was doing it really good, and he took pride in that. This is what he wanted to do. So now I saw that, and I saw he did a good job. Now I'm going to put him at our church behind the camera, by the secondary camera, and I'm going to watch him, and I'm going to give him responsibility. This kid is only 9 years old, but how many know in him is a calling to succeed in some area that I'm watching him? Watching him. This is where fathers need to watch your children to see where they will progress, where they succeed, and what they have joy in doing. I don't want to put him there because I told him to be there, because it's a job. No, he has great, great joy in doing something. It gives him responsibility. And this is what I'm watching for. I'm watching for the calling to flow out of him. And as fathers, we need to step up and we need to see these things. So he has given us a choice. We need to take the choice. How many know that John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy? How many has ever had something stolen from you? It don't feel good, does it? This is what Satan's full character is, to steal, to kill and destroy. How many know murder is a bad thing? If you're showing up today, This is what we believe. Murder is a bad thing. Amen? Murder is a bad thing. So when you know murder is a bad thing, that's being somebody's life has been taken away. Not out of their own will. They've been stolen, taken away. Sickness and disease, taking people away. That doesn't come from God. How many know God and Satan are not in cahoots? Right? He's not working with death. What's the last enemy to be destroyed? Enemy. Enemy. Death. God isn't working against your demise. How many know that? But he says that Jesus have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to share this. And I'm going to end with this. I see some people sleeping. Here's the thing. Jesus says, you have come in, he says, I have come that to bring you life. Now that you may have life, how many know he's an utmost God? He is an utmost God. How many know an utmost father doesn't bring up almost children? Amen. Pastor Murray, bless God, we had a celebration because Sister So-and-so almost did it. Brother So-and-so almost made the grade. God don't make almost children. He didn't make you almost. He didn't make you mostly. How many know most of the millionaires today are living in the mostly? They're making a lot of money, but they're mostly, they got a ceiling. They can't hit, they're limited. God created you not to be limited. This is the Father's heart. Utmost children have no limits. But what is the key? The word is nigh thee. As fathers, I know I had this all written out, but it's all coming out different, all jumbled up. But the key is this. The word, fathers. Speak into your children the word and tell them to speak into their children the word and then to their children, the next generation, what I talked about in Joel chapter, verse 1, chapter 3. The word, the word, the word, the word. How many know the sower sow with the word? And the word is a seed that will produce. Amen? I'm looking for that word to produce in my sons. I'm looking for, and my grandfather, my mom says, your grandfather would be just ecstatic to see what is happening. Even the thought of going on TV, that's a big, huge step of faith. But, you know, in that time, he ministered. But, you know, here we are today with that mantle, if you will, that seed in me going further and going on and understanding. Understand today, fathers, we need to stand up. We need to stand up. And I know it's almost five after. We need to fill the gap and say, no more will my family suffer. No more will my family be attacked. Because I am the head of this household. I am the spiritual head of this household. And I'm going to stand strong. I'm not going to waver. I'm fully persuaded what God said he would do, he will do. Amen? Amen. How many know fathers just need to be encouraged sometimes? Mother's Day, we were talking Mother's Day. Mothers get to be, woo, you know? But then Father's Day comes, smarten up! Sit up straight! Right? You're not doing it right. No, listen. I'm here to encourage you today. It's our time to arise and shine. That when we arise and shine as fathers, there is going to be a tremendous following. Your families, and then things will happen that your children will impact other children. I see it already in so many ways. Seth is so innocent. I see other kids, we hear other kids, how they talk, what they say, and all the things. But Seth, I see Seth and Silas as so innocent. The innocence in them, and I'm keeping that there for a reason. We don't want them to be like the world. How many know you are a chosen generation? A royal priesthood. You need to be peculiar. There's something different about you. Amen? Amen. And I want to tell you, it's because of who is on the inside of you. I don't pray prayers anymore of separation. God, please help me. Please come down and do something. That's a prayer of separation. How many knows God isn't withholding anything back from me? He says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we sing songs, we're going to teach on worship that I don't sing in the third person anymore because I want to minister to God. How many know the Word says you can minister to God? You thank Him, you worship Him. And as fathers, we need to do this. We need to step forward and show our families how to worship in spirit and in truth.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all, sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. You sing it all.